If you'd like to turn your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and verse number 6. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe, that's faith, that he is who? He's God. He's God who came, took upon himself the flesh of men, and spent 33 years among men. He came on behalf of man. He came to suffer what man will suffer because of his sin. But he came to suffer so man wouldn't have to. God's grace is extended, and when you exercise faith, he'll change your life. He is truly a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. The meaning of faith. Faith is the assurance of things desired. Hebrews 11 and verse number 1. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is taking God at his word. John chapter 5 verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Man is dead in trespasses and in sin. He's totally separated from God because of sin. But Jesus came to remove that so man would not be separated from God any longer, but that he may be raised from spiritual death unto spiritual life, that he might have his eternity changed from being destined to suffer the condemnation of sin, which is the torments of the fires and flames of hell, and deliver him to a place called heaven, a place where God dwells, a place where God's love is abounding, a place where it's never cold, it's never uncomfortable, it always is comfortable and warm, and it's always a blessing to be in the presence of God. Faith changes this. Faith is taking God at his word. Faith is believing and trusting God. Acts 27. And verse number 25, Acts chapter 27, and verse 25, the Bible says, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God. Listen to it. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God. You believe him? Better. I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. Now, where does God tell you? In his word. Where does God tell you? In the Bible. I just keep running into this, God speaking to you. God spoke to man when it was needful and necessary to speak to man, but it's not needful or necessary for him to speak to man today because we have the completed word of God. We have all the mystery solved forever, and we have the answer to any question you might have. We have the source of everything that exists. And we have abundant knowledge of God, and in particular of God the Son, Son, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Faith is believing and trusting in God. To believe and trust in God, you have to believe His Word, because His Word is where it is revealed to us there is God. The Word is where it's revealed to us that God is a Trinity, that God is a three-person God, and that these three are one, and yet three persons, but one in every other way. So, the need of faith, it's necessary to please God. Necessary to please God. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. It's necessary. Faith is necessary to please God. Why? Faith is believing God. And God can't be pleased if we don't believe Him. God can't be pleased if we don't trust Him. Can't be pleased if we don't fulfill what He created us for, and that is to have a loving relationship with us. But by the way, that love is not to be one way. That love is two ways. He loves us, no question and no doubt. But now we need to return that love to Him. Do you love Him? If you don't, learn how. How do you get to love Him? Get in His Word. And as He speaks, we'll learn to love Him. As He speaks to us, we're drawn closer to Him. As He speaks to us, we believe and understand what's revealed to us from His Holy Word. And again, the main revelation is Jesus Christ. Faith is necessary to obtain salvation. Ephesians 2, verse number 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Salvation is by grace through faith. It is not by the works or efforts of man. It is by the grace of God. Listen, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Salvation costs God a great deal. You know, it doesn't cost us anything. It's necessary to obtain assurance. 1 John 5, verse number 13. 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 13. The Bible says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." Did you know that we have to believe the Word in order to have the assurance that He has saved us, and to have the assurance that we're going to go to heaven when we pass from this life. The means of faith, it comes from the Word of God. Look at Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 and verse number 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. How do we get faith? By the Word of God. It's the only source of faith there is. It comes from our Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 2. Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. What joy was that? We go over the book of Revelation, read about these multitudes there around the throne of God. That's what he looked forward to. He saw that multitude that he loved dearly, and those who also loved him back. He looked forward to that. He despised the shame and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. It comes from God the Father. Look at Romans 12, verse 3. Romans chapter 12, verse number 3. The Bible says, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Faith ultimately comes from God. The tragedy of not having faith: unbelievers will die in their sins. Look at John chapter 8 and verse number 24. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Now what? The book of Hebrews said we got to believe that he is. And he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. This verse says, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am, ye shall die in your sins. Believe that he's God. I am. He's the great I am of the Old Testament, the Old Covenant. He's that great God of heaven. He's the God of all and of all things. Still on his throne, still in charge, hasn't lost one bit of his power or his ability, and still loves man with all of his heart. And in particular, he's got a wife named Israel that one day he's going to take back, because she's going to make herself ready for him. And he's looking forward to that. Jesus has a bride, faithful in New Testament churches. We need to be preparing ourselves, because that's what he and the Father are looking forward to. Unbelievers will not enter into God's rest. Look at Hebrews, the 3rd chapter. Verse number 19, Hebrews chapter 3:19 says, so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief, because of a lack of faith, they could not enter in. Unbelievers will not enter into God's rest because of the lack of faith. They will not put their faith and trust in him. They'll not believe the witness of his word concerning who he is. Unbelievers will spend eternity in hell. Look at Revelation 21 and verse number 8. Revelation 21 and 8 says, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now notice, all of these horrible people are going to be in hell. But look, it says that unbelievers will be there. Did you know that there's a lot of nice people that are unbelievers? There are a lot of beautiful young women and older women that are unbelievers. They're going to be there. And they're going to be amongst all of these horrible individuals that are there. Because of unbelief, men will spend eternity in hell. The hindrance to faith, a hindrance is seeking man's glory. Look at John chapter 5 and verse 44. John 5 and 44. How can ye believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? I think that's the order of today. The hindrance is seeking man's glory. It's a hindrance to faith. It's to keep man from believing and trusting in Jesus. It's to bolster man and make him think that he's heavy and big enough and powerful enough to take care of himself. But there is no man that has the power to change his eternal destiny. There's no man that has the power to be resurrected from the dead. There's no man that has the power that is God's only who will take care of these things. A hindrance is an erring heart. Hebrews 3, verses 10 and 11. Wherefore, I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. A hindrance is Satan himself. Those by the wayside, talking about the seed to sown, are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Hindrances to faith, seeking man's glory. Hindrance to faith is an erring heart. Follow your heart. Follow your heart. But your heart's deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Don't follow your heart. Follow Jesus. How do you follow him? How do you know how to follow him? He gave it to us here in these 66 books. And if you're ignorant of what those books reveal, not God's fault, it's yours. He's preserved this to this day for the benefit of you. Don't follow your heart, follow Jesus. And Satan, he's going to and fro upon the earth, seeking who he may devour. And he's not trying to devour those that are out there and corrupt and reprobate. He's trying to devour those that are faithfully trying to worship and serve God in New Testament churches. And by the way, he's doing an abundant job of it. We hear of New Testament churches going out of existence all the time, all over the place. Who's behind it? Satan is. Verse 18 of Luke 8. Take heed therefore how ye hear, for whosoever hath to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. Satan takes it away. The time when faith occurs, Hebrews 11 and verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Noah, being warned, As it was in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. The conditions that prevailed on the earth, the wickedness that was on the earth in the days of Noah that caused God to destroy mankind with a flood, are existing today. And notice how that Noah, by faith, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. We're warned of God of things not seen as yet today, just like Noah. Are we going to respond like Noah did? Or are we going to go the other way? He moved with fear. Don't see a lot of fear of the Lord these days, because man's too caught up in himself. He prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Man has no righteousness of his own. It's as filthy rags in the sight of God. We desperately need the righteousness of God in our lives. Genesis 6 and 22. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. So Noah did all the things that God commanded him to do. That's what we ought to be busy about, is doing the things that God has commanded us to do. Jairus had faith when his daughter was sick. Reminds me of myself. Matthew 5, 22 and 23. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. He didn't say, maybe you can. He said, you can. And he said it, I'm persuaded, with all of his heart. I'm persuaded that he put his faith and trust and he believed what Jesus said and what he was able to do. The Ethiopian had faith when he heard of Jesus. Acts chapter 8, verse number 37. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He could have just easily said, I know Jesus Christ is the Son of God, because that's what he meant. How did he know? Because he put his faith and trust in him. He repented of his sins and by faith trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior. When he heard about Christ, remember he asked, who is this you're talking about? He didn't know Jesus, but then afterwards, he exercised that faith that God granted him and he was saved by the grace of God. He knew he was saved. He had the witness of the Spirit. No question and no doubt, he knew. The consequences of having faith, it produces knowledge of the remission of sins. Acts 10 and verse 43, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins, shall receive forgiveness of sin, shall receive cleansing of sin. It produces a victorious life. Look at 1 John 5, verse number 4. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. I tried to change my world. Unsuccessful, many times tried. I really put forth effort many times, but it didn't change anything. But when I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, it really changed me. I thought everybody else was different. It wasn't everybody else, it was me, because he changed me. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. It produces the fearlessness of death. John 11, 25 through 27. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. I believe. I put my faith and trust in him. I know that he is the Son of God. I know that he's come into this world as the Lamb of God to be the sacrifice for the sins of man, to be the payment, or to make the payment of the penalty of sins of man, the innocent suffering for the guilty, the innocent raising one from spiritual death unto spiritual life. I believe it's Colossians 3 that caused a resurrection, a spiritual resurrection from dead in trespasses and sin to alive in Jesus Christ and alive forevermore. Faith. Where do you get faith? By hearing the Word of God. How important is the Word of God? It changes men's destiny. It changes their lives. And that change is always for the better, because God is the one that's making that change. And did you know that when he saves our soul, he imputes his righteousness into us who have no righteousness? And finally, we can do things that are right in the sight of God. Before, we could do nothing that was right in the sight of God. That's why man cannot work and earn his salvation. He has no righteousness. But when he saved us, he imputed his righteousness, so that that which we do can please God. And inside a New Testament church, it'll give glory to God. The faithful, as they exercise that righteousness that God imputes, it brings and gives glory to God. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. We repent of our sins by faith, trust him as Savior, and then submit to scriptural baptism, manifesting that we are the sons of God by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ and what he's done. And then he will add us to a New Testament church. And after being added to that New Testament church, then we're in a position to give God glory. Now I realize this is unpopular because you're restricting God. No, we're not. He's the one that said unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus. And notice he said in the church. He didn't say in a church. He said in the church. And the reason he said it is because he only organized, instituted, and started one kind of church. The world don't like that either. Why? Because it takes away the glory of man. Then man has to do it God's way. Man wants to do it his way. And he wants to be left free just for him to do his way, him to do their way, this one to do that way, whatever way that man chooses. But man doesn't have a choice because he stands condemned already. And the only one that can remove that condemnation is Jesus Christ. The only way we can serve him is on that straight and narrow way, in which there are few that enter in. But in that broad way, having man having his way, there are many that go in thereat, the Bible says. So this morning, if you're here, you have any question or any doubt about your salvation, you need to be in the altar, or you need to make an altar where you're at, and you need to lift your heart up to Jesus. Because listen, I don't believe we have a lot of time left before Jesus will come. Why is that? I've heard it all my life, and I believed it. I didn't think my kids would grow up until Jesus would come. I didn't think they'd graduate from school till Jesus would come. He hadn't come yet. It doesn't mean he's not going to. I know that he is going to and that he will. And I also know that in my short lifetime, there have been so many things fulfilled that was prophesied and predicted, and the world is in the exact condition that he said that it would be in when he came. So it's a whole lot closer. And I believe with all my heart he's coming, and very soon. Those that are saved, he's taken out of here. Those that are lost are going to be left behind. And they're going to have to suffer in a time of tribulation like there never has been on this earth or ever shall be. We think these tornadoes and these floods and all of this weather disasters and things like that are horrible. All the people that are killed. And we think about the war over in the Middle East and all the people that are killed over there. Listen. A fourth of the population of the world are going to be die at once in the tribulation period. And then all of those that die from time to time, whose lives are taken. Many. A time like there never has been or ever shall be. Where'd you get that? God's word. Take it seriously. If you're left behind, my friend, you'll face some of that. It's best to come to Jesus in repentance and faith and trust him as your Savior now. If you're saved, you need to follow him in scriptural baptism. You need to let him add you to a New Testament church where you can give him glory. Let's stand. What shall we sing, brother?
Number 17.
Whatever the need is, come to Jesus. Did you know that when he takes us up in the clouds of the air, then they're going to spend the 7 years at the judgment seat of Christ. And the condition we're in when he comes and takes us out of here is the condition we'll stand before him. And those that are saved and backslid are going to have to answer. Why don't you come this morning?